Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the company. I'm glad you're here today with us. We have a lot of really great things in store for you. I'm glad you could make it out to the orientation. This is where we just communicate some basic expectations of what it means to be an employee here. But once again, this is a great organization. I'm glad you've decided to align yourself with us. Just a quick introduction, then we'll get to the substance of our orientation. What we do at this company, well, you probably already know. Our goal, our purpose is to heal the world. I know it's a lofty goal, but after, gosh, it feels like 2,000 years, finally, it feels like we have this really great method of healing the world. So I'm excited to share exactly how we do that with you. I've organized our time together into three sections. First off, I'm going to give you just a primer on how we heal the world. What is your job description? And actually, what is my job description? Because as I'll explain, we all have the same job description. The second thing we're going to talk about, man, I feel like a preacher now giving 3 points. The second thing we're going to talk about is what I like to call the strangest thing about our company. And I'm not going to explain more than that, but just know it's coming. And then finally, I want to talk a little bit about why or how we came to such an unorthodox method, strategy of healing the world. So I'm going to give you a little bit of prehistory as to how we came to the method we now use. Having said all that, let me begin with method. Very simply, we heal the world not through large-scale strategies, not through little widgets that we develop, not through elaborate workflows. We heal the world through something entirely different. You would expect when we approach a subject like the brokenness of the whole world that such an elaborate problem will require a very complex solution. And I'm not here to say that there aren't complex realities to the challenges we face. But I am here to say that the means we use of healing the world has proven successful time after time after time. And it doesn't rely on widgets, and it doesn't rely on large-scale, very complex tools. We use tools, but our primary avenue of healing the world, the bread and butter of our company, is you. And I know what you're thinking. I've been in 1,000 companies, and they all say, you know, our employees are our most valuable asset, blah, blah, blah. That's not exactly what we mean here. We mean it in a different way, at least. When they talk about how employees are their most valuable assets, what they really mean are the skills and the intellect and the giftedness that come from their employees and create this incredible work product. That's not exactly what we mean. They're saying that what really matters is the work product, and because it comes from our employees, guess what? We value our employees. It's kind of the reverse here. We value the work product that is put out, but what we value even more is you. You are the way we heal the world, not what you do. What I mean is that if you put out a great work product, but you are a very unhealthy person, in our estimation, that means yours is a bad work product. So we are very intentional here about starting with the person. And if there are tools we pick up along the way, then those are helpful. But we believe that a person, an individual, an employee at this organization is the key to healing the world. I like to think of this in terms of as if our gathering here and you being in this building, it's as if you have walked into this glowing epicenter of radioactivity, except not radioactivity that kills and destroys, but a radioactivity that transforms and heals, a positive kind of radioactivity, if you can imagine that. So that as you and I come here, we become exposed to it. And then as we go out to do our jobs, we expose other people so that they encounter this different degree of radioactivity, this healing, this transforming kind of thing. So that's the high-level picture of what we do. Let me get down to some nuts and bolts so that you know exactly what am I supposed to do about my work. I don't know how to be radioactive. So let me describe three main priorities for your job. As I said before, we all share the same job description. The outworking of our jobs vary immensely, but we all are called to do the exact same things. First off, we are asked for the first part of our job to care for others in a very concrete way. Now, I realize that is a very broad stroke, and that doesn't help very much. So, very simply, you might imagine the easiest example is if you come across someone who has a need, let's say a monetary need, you give them money. That's what we do. We give people things. If you come across somebody who needs a hug, you give them a hug. If you come across someone who is cold, you give them a blanket. If you come across someone who is hungry, you give them food. If you come across someone who is in prison and they have no one to visit them, you visit them. That is our bread and butter. That is what we do. We simply care for people in a concrete fashion. And it's really a privilege to do this job. The biggest obstacle you will experience in doing your job, this particular piece of it at least, is that the way we work, let's talk about money for a minute. The way we work is we put money in your pocket so that you can put money in someone else's pocket. The great challenge we all face is choosing to reach down into our pockets that are now lined with money and giving it to someone else. Because it always takes, I suppose, a little bit of faith to believe that if I give all this stuff away, that the company is going to come behind me and backfill what I have given up. Or if you're giving someone the shirt off your back, is the company really going to come through and put a shirt back on my back? Because I'm going to need one too. That's the biggest obstacle we face. If you've never done it before, that's the hardest step. Once you do it 5 times, it's much easier. If you do it 100 times, it's even easier. But if you haven't taken that first step of believing that if you give something away, the company will come through for you, then I urge you to try it. But that's for later. We're still in orientation. So the second task for being an employee here at this organization, and these are going to get weirder as I communicate them. The second task you have as an employee is to talk as frequently as possible with your boss, with our boss, with everyone's boss. Now, I realize that seems like a far cry from healing the world, so let me help explain what the connection might be. See, the method we use to heal the world is so unorthodox that you and I, being kind of proud, thinking we have some good ideas, we want to tweak it, change it, say there's got to be a better way, a more efficient way to heal the world than this weird, strange kind of way. But if we go talk to our boss regularly, we are reminded, oh yeah, this way really does work. Remember, he is the founder. He had the original vision. He owns it. He doesn't waffle on the technique we use. And he can remind us time and time again, because we need it time and time again, that the only way we can heal the world is through this time-tested manner. Plus, aside from just the strategic aspect, our boss really loves spending time with people. He never seems to grow tired of spending time with his employees. In fact, I've sometimes hesitated at the door because I look into his office and there are already a crowd of people wanting to talk to him. But somehow I find if I choose to step across the threshold and actually enter his office, I find that somehow, some way, he still makes room for me, makes me feel included. I don't think I've ever met anyone who has regretted spending time with the boss. And it's written into your job description, so I want to ask, please abide by your job description. The third piece of your job description, as I said, is even weirder, perhaps. We want you to take really good care of yourself. Now, this isn't just a move to lower our health insurance premiums. We actually believe you can help heal the world by taking care of yourself. I'll give you an example of something you might consider. And again, don't blame me. This is a little bit weird. We encourage people to fast. You know, where you go without food or a certain kind of drink or a television or a phone or something like that for a period of time. Here's how it works. You and I have needs and wants and desires that are constantly coming to us. And if we never say no to them, we might have the power to say no, but we don't know for sure. Can I live without that just for a period of time? So what fasting does is it reminds us, or it tells us, that we have the ability to say no to something. How is that connected to the healing of the world? Well, it's not a direct connection, but here's how it might work. Fasting, and this is just one avenue, but let's take it. Fasting helps create self-control. And the more self-control we have, the less likely we are to go out in the world and exercise the kinds of things that might contribute to the brokenness of the world. Because if unhealthy things come our way, we have already fought that battle, and we have a greater sense of self that we can say no to that temptation, let's call it. And in that way, we are freed up not to add to the brokenness of the world, but to help heal the world. So we ask you, take really good care of yourself. Be disciplined. Do things that might seem a little bit out of the ordinary for you, because it's what your job is all about. Well, those are the basics of your job description and of my job description. Now, as I said, there are an infinite number of ways you can do each one of these. How can you care for someone concretely? 1,000 different ways. How can you converse with our boss? Well, there are different ways you can do it. You can call him, you can email him, you can go in person, all sorts of things. And then caring for yourself, it's really idiosyncratic. It's what do you most need and what steps can you take to help care for yourself? I realize it's a strange recipe, but that is your job description. However, you might remember that at the beginning I said that my second point is going to be to share about what I call the strangest thing about our company. And that's where we've come to. The strangest thing about our company is so important that the job description I just outlined for you actually hinges on this one thing. See, the problem in the past is that so many people have tried to do those three things that I outlined, to care for other people, to interact with people in authority, to take care of ourselves, and it doesn't do anything because they were missing this very strange but very essential ingredient. You may have noticed when you were walking around here that this building is decidedly barren. Did you notice there's no sign out front? Did you notice that none of us have ID cards? Did you notice that you don't have a name tag? Did you notice that you haven't yet received any business cards with our logo on it? That's for two reasons. First of all, because we don't give out business cards, and second of all, because we don't have a logo. In fact, we have no marketing department and no advertising department. We spend $0 on billboards, radio spots, TV commercials, print publications, and the like, nothing. The only way to get our word out is through you. So why don't you just take out a print ad? Why don't you just buy a billboard? Why don't you just do one of those things? Because we prohibit you from doing that. In fact, you are in some ways completely silenced. To work for this company means that the good you do should not be disclosed. It means that when you do good things, I'm sorry, you are not allowed to tell people about it. I realize that sounds crazy because we're supposed to be about healing the world and you want to broadcast the message far and wide, but our boss has made it very clear that this is how we heal the world. In fact, we believe this so strongly, and what we've seen time and again is that the only way the world is healed is when good works are done in secret. As soon as we start touting ourselves as, I'm a person who takes great care of other people. I'm a person who helped that old lady across the street. I'm a person who just is extremely self-disciplined. Whatever it might be, as soon as we do that, we actually nullify the effect of our good work, and we lose all credibility. Now, what's funny about this, and this is sort of ironic, is that our boss, really in the same breath, has also asked us, he's given us a picture, a couple of different pictures, to be a light of the world, a city on a hill, the salt of the earth. And yet he asks us to do all those things secretly, quietly. We don't publicize what we do. And so I ask, well, is that not a paradox? How does this work? How can the message of that heals the world get out if we are stuck in the closet doing the things that we're supposed to be doing but never allowed to share it with anyone else? Our founder, once again, our boss, has this phrase. He says something to this effect, that what we whisper in the darkness will one day be shouted from the rooftops. That is to say, the things you do in secret as employees here will start to seep out and begin to infect the whole world with healing. Let me give you a couple of examples. And I'm proud of these things. I'm hesitant to say I'm proud of these things because I don't want to violate our own company policy. This one comes from ages ago, long, long ago, just after our company was founded. This was at a time when doctors really didn't have medicine. They really had no idea how to cure diseases. And so what happened was that society would basically discover that one of their loved ones was sick and literally cast them out. They would leave them out on the street to fend for themselves out of their own self-preservation. They had no way of healing that person, so they said, well, there's no point in caring for them. They're just going to die. Let them die away from me so I won't be affected by it. But then some of our employees got wind of what was going on, and they did the strangest thing. Remember the first point of your job description, that you are to care for others in a concrete way. They actually went out into the streets, picked up the wounded, and carried them back into their houses. And they started caring for them. They didn't make a big deal about it. They didn't publicize it. They did it in secret. But slowly, surely, words start to spread. Before I get too much ahead of myself, a historian way back in the day named Dionysius said this: very many of our brethren, while in their exceeding love and brotherly kindness, did not spare themselves, but kept by each other and visited the sick without thought of their own peril, and ministered to them assiduously and treated them for their healing, even died from time to time most joyfully, drawing upon themselves their neighbors' diseases and willingly taking over to their own persons the burden of the sufferings of those around them. Well, even though they did it quietly, the word started to spread. In fact, not just around the block or the neighborhood, the word spread throughout the whole world. And as word spread, this entity began to form. And it's an entity that had never existed before, but as a result of some of our employees began to exist, and it's now something that exists that you and I take for granted. It's called the hospital. That was us. Let me give you one more example, just to show that wasn't just luck, that this weird method of doing good works in secret actually somehow functions to heal the world. You remember 1800s, pre-Civil War, North was anti-slavery, really, and South was pro-slavery. In the North, there were a number of freed slaves who had no ability to read or write. And so some of the white people saw these African Americans and they said, that's not right. These people should have the ability to read and write. And so they took it upon themselves to teach them how to read and write. They didn't make a big deal about it. They didn't proclaim it from the rooftops. They just did it in their own homes, invited these people in and started to teach them to read and write. Over time, word started to spread. And people who were enslaved in the American South got wind of this idea that their brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and children up in the North now had the ability to read and write. But they were raised in an environment that always said, you are too stupid to ever be able to read and write. You're a second-class citizen, so don't even bother reading and writing. And they sort of accepted it. Okay, I guess they're right. But now they discover, in fact, this person isn't right, and I'm not enslaved as a result of being a second-class citizen. I'm actually enslaved as a result of injustice. We can't abide this. And what began to happen was an uprising and eventually a civil war. Now, this isn't all attributed to the efforts of reading and efforts to teach reading and writing by a few of our employees, but it was certainly part of it. It helped dignify these people who were formerly slaves, and the word spread. We too are fully human. I could go on with more examples, but it's not the point of our time here this evening. So let me come to the final part of our orientation by giving you a little bit of the why. Where did this method of healing the world come from? It is so strange to do good works in secret and somehow discover the world has been transformed. Where did this come from? Prior to our company's founding, our boss was deeply disturbed by the brokenness he saw. There was so much wrong and so few solutions that made any difference whatsoever. People would put forth solutions. I think of the Greeks or the Romans. They would put forth solutions that sounded very moralistic and virtuous. But what was always discovered underneath that was that these were self-serving to some extent. There were always victims. There were always people who were left out, who were not included, so that a solution for a large group of people was not a solution for everyone. So our boss, who had been working on a particular plan actually for a very long time, finally decided it was time to act. He launched his plan, this plan to heal the world, with the birth of his first son, actually his only child. Now, our boss was already highly regarded and well-respected, but he saw to it that his son would be born into obscurity, just outside a small town, or in the middle of a small town, kind of in the middle of a desert. The son was raised in a fairly unremarkable way. He was just a craftsman. And it wasn't until he was about 30 years old that he even hit the radar of any kind of historian. And what he began to do was just have very small conversations. He tended to travel with a group of a dozen or so people. Every once in a while, he would talk to a larger group, but for the most part, he was spending time with smaller groups of people, just having conversations, learning and teaching and that kind of thing. There are a few instances when he did some things that were actually quite remarkable. I heard one story that he actually healed several different blind men. But I heard when he did things like that, and that's not the only example, he saw to it that those who were healed and those who saw the healing were not to spread the word about him. They were to keep it a secret. Multiple times in the history books about this man do we hear him saying, "You have to keep silent about this." This was the way he did things. He cared for people. He often conversed with his father, who is our boss. He took good care of himself. In fact, there was one point when he was taking care of himself way out in a wilderness. He was actually fasting for a long time. He was in the middle of the desert. And the boss of a rival organization came out to him, and he offered him a huge, huge promotion. This involved a lot of money and a lot of power, and it was, I imagine, very tempting. The only thing the son had to do was to do a lot of really good works in a very public way. It's so counter to the strategy his father had outlined. And so immediately the son rejected the offer and pushed this other boss away to focus on the mission that he had already been given. Over time, the son's good works started to seep out, just as we've already talked about. People started to notice. They started to compare themselves with what he had been doing, and they realized that no matter how you cut it, someone who does good works in public is less virtuous than someone who does good works in private. And so they didn't want to be unseated as the most moral, most upstanding people in the area. And so they decided, well, to make a long story short, they killed him. They brought him out. They had him brought out to a cross, executed like a common criminal outside the city limits, just on a hillside. And that was kind of the end of the story. Except that, well, this is a really shocking thing, that this was the boss's plan all along. It's not that he didn't love his son. In fact, from what I heard, the moment when his son died, the father's grief was so great that it's as if the mountains were shaken. It's not as if he didn't love his son. It's just that he so loved the world. And he saw no other way to begin its healing. Painful as it was, the strategy worked. This band of people that the son had been traveling around for a long time started to do the very same practices that the son had started to do. They started caring for other people in a very concrete way. They started taking good care of themselves, preserving their own health, and they started to begin these dialogues with our boss. It wasn't long before they actually incorporated this very company in the name of the son. Because of the strategy of our boss, because of the way history has unfolded, I don't know that it's too strong a phrase to say that this company has probably become the most influential organization in history. So I welcome you. And just as I close, I want to remind you of one thing. Because this is an orientation, I have to talk about the benefits we have. We get benefits by working here. We get benefits in two ways. We get benefits simply because we are employees here. And second of all, we get benefits based on good job performance. Quite simply, if you choose to do good works and you keep them secret, even though you want to tell the whole world on Facebook, if you keep them secret, you will be rewarded. And I got to tell you that the rewards can come in a lot of different ways, but by far the greatest reward is that somehow our boss, as we spend time with him, discloses more and more about who he is. And I don't know if you've ever lived your life alongside someone with whom you had the deepest respect, someone that you just admired, so that as you're walking along with him or her, you discover how they wash their hands, how they eat their food, how they do 1,000 different things, and you have the opportunity to seek their advice. It just feels, how did I become so lucky to have so much knowledge about this person that I so esteem? It is such a gift to be rewarded at this company, which is why I say to perhaps a few of you, see, not everybody comes to this orientation as employees. Sometimes we have auditors here as well. If you're here just to audit, just to learn more about it, you are always welcome here. But I want to ask specifically to you two questions. How do you, without a company like this, heal the world? What do you do? And second of all, do you have someone like our boss that you can walk alongside, who has created this incredible recipe for the healing of the world? Do you have someone like that? I got to tell you, the standards of entering this company are low. None of us qualified for this company, but we were brought in regardless. So I want you to know, especially you, that you are welcome here. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, what a bizarre instruction you have given us. To do good works, but not to let the whole world see them. Lord, it feels counterintuitive. It feels like when we have the opportunity to play before a huge house of people, yet you have called us to play just before you. God, this is not an easy job. We thank you that Christ, your Son, has done this very thing. But Lord, we ask for the strength to do this ourselves. I ask for the strength to do this myself. Father in heaven, we trust you, and we trust that this is the way the way you have called us to be human. This is the way you can really do amazing things in this world. So please, God, use us, make us faithful to the task, inspire us. In the name of Jesus, amen.